The title of the sermon is Needing God's Guidance. I ask you, has there ever been a time when we needed God's guidance more than right now? I mean, really. I don't care what your politics are. I don't care what you think about this election, about the pandemic, about the economy. All of that's relative as to where each of us is on a spectrum of all of these matters. What I do care about this morning is we need God's guidance. David, the psalmist, in the psalm that we read earlier, said, remember this verse, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory." That verse connects with what we just read in Genesis, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. It also connects with what our church experienced last Sunday with All Saints Day. It also connects with the prayers for our nation that we just shared together this morning. One day, God will take us to glory, to be with Him forever. But now, during our time on earth, Jesus was right, wasn't He? We are going to experience trouble. We are going to go through difficulties, and right now those troubles and difficulties seem very heavy. Maybe trusting God becomes difficult, even challenging for us in times like these. I think today trusting anything seems difficult. It seems to me that erosion of trust has happened for all people in all matters. What do we trust? Who do we trust today? Maybe that has even affected our trust in God. Maybe it seems harder to trust in God today. There are many difficulties that come into play as we try to trust God right now in our lives. For some people, we just think about the study of the universe and how vast and huge this universe is. And when astronomers tell us that the number of stars in the universe is like the sands of grain, of the grains of sand on the seashores of all of the earth, it boggles our mind. When we think that the closest star to us is 25 billion miles away, we begin to think, who are we in the midst of this universe? We agree with the psalmist in another psalm when he wrote, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moons and the stars you have set in place, what are we as human beings? God, that you are mindful of us at all. God, this universe is so big. How can you know me or love me? How is it possible for you to hear my prayers and offer me guidance?" Sometimes in the vastness of this universe, it seems that we are so small. For other people, they look at geology, the study of the earth, and as we hear from scientists, this world is perhaps millions, if not billions, of years old. And when we think of these terms, our lifespan seems so short. If we live 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years, what is that in the midst of billions of years? Our lifespans are so short. It's like a twinkling of an eye, a vapor of mist. How can we have a meaningful relationship with God in the bewildering vastness and ageness of this universe? Does God care for me? Is God involved in the activities of my life? Will God guide me in my little small life in this vast, huge universe? Some will say, if there is a God, certainly God has much more to do than simply guide my everyday life. But you know, there are others. There are others who lived centuries ago. There are others who live very recently among us who will say, God has been near and dear to me. God has spoken to my heart. These are the people of the Bible. These are the saints who have gone before us. These are the people in our families and in this church who have touched and impacted and affected our spiritual lives. They taught us what Jesus taught us in his ministry, and that is that God guides us in our lives. We walk by the counsel of the Lord. God wants to guide us. We stand every day in need of God's guidance. Our text for this morning in the book of Genesis helps us to discover God's guidance in our lives. As I mentioned, here we read this unusual story about a servant of Abraham who was given the task of finding a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac. And as he tells his story very clearly at the end, verse 27, here's what the servant said. "As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." In other words, God guided this servant in this mission. Now, at the time of our text for today, Isaac had reached the age of adulthood, and it was time for him to be married. And Abraham's fear was that Isaac was going to fall in love with one of the young, non-believing girls who lived among them. Well, Abraham called his servant and commissioned him to go back to Abraham's homeland to find a wife for him, for Isaac there. As we look at this passage through 21st century eyes, we may find ourselves thinking, maybe even getting distracted by some of the cultural phenomena that are happening here. We might think, well, how could a parent force his or her will on a child in terms of marriage? How could we imagine having our children marry someone they had not seen or who was chosen for them by a hired servant? In our culture, these questions might be natural. But let's go a little deeper. As we think about what's happening here in this text, we begin to see there's much more to this story than a random, spontaneous choice from a hired servant for who Isaac will marry. We see that the servant was well instructed in the qualities that he should look for in a bride for Isaac. If Abraham were here this morning and we were to ask him the questions we just asked, surely he would say to us, "Eastern marriage customs have always been different from your customs and traditions. We know our children and we love them very much. And we believe that we actually know them better than they know themselves. And we would not want them to marry someone whom they could not love. So therefore, we assist them in finding one who will be an excellent life partner for them." Abraham would also probably remind us that there are fewer divorces in Eastern countries even today, even with arranged marriages. Abraham would certainly say, "My servant was thoroughly instructed in the task. He was prepared to search for Isaac's wife." But you know, that's not really the point. This cultural tradition, there's a spiritual message here that Abraham would really emphasize to us. And here's what he would say. Beyond all of the cultural practices, Abraham would say, "The woman who was chosen for my son Isaac, she was not chosen by me." Abraham would say, "She was not chosen by my servant." No, the woman chosen as Isaac's wife was chosen by God. Abraham would want us to know that God was the one guiding and directing this entire process. I remind you again what the servant said in verse 27, "As for me, the Lord has led me on this journey to the house of my master's relatives." It was God's guidance that was directing this entire process. So maybe our question becomes this morning, how does God lead and guide us? When life becomes heavy and difficult, how do we know when it is God who is guiding us and directing us, and when it is other things in our lives that are influencing us? What can we do to seek God's guidance? Well, I think in this passage this morning, there is some great help for us. Great help even in times like these. To begin with, what we notice here is what the servant begins this whole process with. We didn't read it, but if you go back, listen to verse 10, to what happens as the servant prepares to go and search for Isaac's wife. Listen to these words. "Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking him with all kinds of good things with his master. He set out for Aram and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Here it is. Then he prayed. O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. The very first thing this servant does when he is in need of God's guidance is he kneels in prayer asking for God to direct this awesome task and responsibility he has been given. This time of prayer was essential for the servant. For you see, he doesn't just hope that God is going to help him. He specifically asks God to guide and direct this process. This time of prayer was a central part of the servant's responsibility in seeking God's guidance. Let me ask you, what are you praying for these days? How are you praying these days? Are we praying for our will to be done? Or are we praying that God's will be done? Are we praying for our nation? Are we praying for our communities? Are we praying for our churches? Are we praying for our families? Are we praying for the individuals who make up this community and this family of faith? What are we praying today? The servant tells us when we need God's guidance, it begins with prayer. And notice what happens. It was during this time of prayer that the servant was given direction. What we find after praying, the servant thought, you can read about this in verses 13 through 16. Here's what he thought. If this woman who comes to the well offers me water to drink, then I will know that she is a kind and compassionate person. But if she goes further, and if she offers my camels water, then I will know that she is also observant of the needs of others and merciful to animals as well. Listen, it was this line of reasoning that was given to the servant during his time of prayer. It wasn't his own thoughts or his calculations. These things came from the heart of God, the guidance he was given as the servant spent time in prayer. So what happened then? After praying these things, verse 15, he lifted his eyes and there came a lovely young woman named Rebecca. And the Bible tells us that she was beautiful. But even more importantly, we learn that she was upright in moral character. She was mature. She was well-mannered. She was a person of exceptional morals and practices. The servant of Abraham knew that God had guided him to the very person who was to be Isaac's wife. So what does he do? He bows his head and worships the Lord in verse 26. He prayed, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. And again, as for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." Now, the conclusion of all of this comes much later in the book of Genesis. But the Bible tells us that when Isaac first saw Rebekah, he loved her, and she became his wife. God guided this entire process. God's guidance was essential for this servant of Abraham. So my question this morning is this: what do we learn here? What do we learn that we apply to our own lives? Number one, the first thing we notice about Abraham's servant was that he was a person of continuous prayer. He was commissioned in prayer for this task. He set out across the burning desert. He prayed, Genesis tells us. As he sat at the well that day, he prayed for God's guidance. The life of devoted prayer was essential. It was not just in the time of crisis that he prayed, but prayer was a continual part of his life. We remember Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing." Sometimes maybe we treat God as though God only exists for life's emergencies. And when those emergencies come, we pray hard. But if we want God's guidance in times of crisis, We must know how to pray to God in the everyday matters of life. We will always be safe in a time of crisis if we have known God in the everyday trials of life. God's guidance is real as we pray continually. But notice something else. It wasn't just that the servant prayed here. There's something else very important. The servant also listened. Sometimes we talk to God about matters in our lives. Sometimes we pour our hearts out to God, but we don't take the time to listen. This is critical. It was in the listening that the servant realized what God wanted him to look for in a bride for Isaac. It wasn't when he was speaking to God. It was in the listening to God that he discovered what it was about the qualities of the person he was to find who would be the wife and the bride for Isaac. Listening is such an important part of discerning God's will. And it is important for us to note that the listening part of prayer needs to be practiced. For it to be meaningful in our lives, it's not something we learn from a book. It's something we learn from quiet hours of being still and just listening to God, guidance and presence in our lives. But I would also point you this morning to understand this. Realize God's guidance is there to protect us. God's guidance comes as we pray. God's guidance comes as we listen. But all of this is happening to protect us. If the servant here had not listened to and sought God's guidance, he would have surely made the wrong choice in a bride for Isaac. And the results of that choice would have been devastating. God's guidance is there to protect us in life. I heard of a Marine who was on a ship in the northeastern corner of Formosa, which is now called Taiwan. They were near Taipei. As the Marine tells the story, they were stopped at the mouth of a harbor awaiting for the arrival of the harbor pilot. The harbor pilot was to come out and to take the wheel of the ship. And so he did. And the harbor pilot came and took the wheel and he began to weave the ship through the pathless waters that led to the dock. All the while, the Marine was thinking to himself how unnecessary this action was. They could see the dock less than a mile away. Couldn't they just take the ship right to the dock? But the closer they looked, the longer they glanced over the side of the ship into the crystal clear waters, they soon understood. There were mines located randomly beneath the surface of the water. And if the hull of the ship had just nudged any of those mines, disaster would have occurred. It was the harbor pilot who knew where every mine was located and could safely guide the ship to the dock. That's how it is with God's guidance in our lives. Sometimes we think we can do it on our own, but God knows the hidden dangers that are all around us. That's why we need God's guidance. I read something recently on the guidance of God that really spoke to me. It really touched my heart. This person wrote, "When I meditated on the word guidance, I kept seeing dance at the end of the word. I remember reading that God's will and doing God's will is a lot like dancing. When two people try to lead, nothing feels quite right. The movement doesn't flow with the music and everything is quite uncomfortable and it's kind of jerky and it doesn't work. But when one person realizes and lets the other person lead, then both bodies begin to flow with the music. One gives gentle clues, perhaps a nudge on the back or pressing lightly in one direction or another. It is as if the two bodies become one, moving beautifully together. The dance takes surrender, willingness, and attentiveness from one person and gentle guidance and skill from the other. She continues, "My eyes drew back to the word guidance. When I saw the G, I thought of God, followed by you and I. God, you and I dance." As I lowered my head, she said, "I became willing to trust that I would get guidance about my life. Once again, I became willing to let God lead." We need that guidance, especially right now, in our nation, in our community, in our church, in our families, in your individual lives, in my individual life. We need that guidance. We need direction. We need a sense of purpose. We need clarity on the pathway ahead. So this week, here's my prayer for you. This week, I hope you will pray, "God, I trust you with my life. Instead of me trying to guide and direct, I want you to lead me. So God, you and I dance." Let us pray. Oh God, this world is sometimes a very difficult place in which to live. Jesus was so right when he reminded us that we will have trouble in this life. And God, sometimes the troubles are overwhelming, and sometimes the pathway ahead seems so difficult. So today, Lord, we confess that we need your guidance. We need your presence. We need your love. We need your mercy. We need to trust you with the pathway ahead. So God, this week, may we dance with you. May we let you lead us and guide us as we surrender our all. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.